And so one of the things we're always telling our customers and our clients is, do you really know who you're talking to? And do you know that's the right audience? It's actually either in a B2B world, because you've got two personas always, the buyer and the signer of the contract, meaning the decision maker always has to be the person you're thinking about as well, arming the buyer to address the decision maker. You know, CFOs exist to crush dreams.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Chris Brogan, for that amazing intro. I don't know if I've ever thanked him for the intro, but today I'm super excited, ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, because today we are talking about the topic of how being strategic. Should we stop right there? No. About your content development can boost results and save time and money, both things that we probably are thinking about as B2B marketers. And I'm doubly excited because today we have Ahava Liebtag with us. Ahava is a 2020 inductee into the Healthcare Internet Hall of Fame as an innovative individual, has 20 plus years of experience in content. She has consulted with some of the world's largest firms to attract and grow their audiences. Ahava is the president and owner of AHA Media Group, LLC, a copywriting, content strategy, and content marketing consultancy. So you know we have come to the right person for today's topic for you to learn from. She's also the author of The Digital Crown, Winning at Content on the Web, and loves a great logic puzzle, a long game of apples to apples, and anything that has chocolate. Oh! Dare I say, we may be kindred spirits because I love me some chocolate as well. And I also love value, and that's what we're going to bring to you in this episode. It really is good. We talk about the why, the what, the how, the hurdles, what success looks like. But before we get into the good stuff, let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor. Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? Hey, let's get back into this interview with Ahava. I hope I do see you at the B2B Forum, by the way, because it's going to be absolutely amazing. But let's get into the good stuff with Ahava Liebtag. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, that's right. It's time for the piece, the parts that you love, the good stuff. And I'm excited today because we're going to talk about how being strategic. That's right. You need that stratagem, that strategy, that time to stop and think about your content development and how it can boost results and save time and something that is precious to many of us, money. And I am here with Ahava. I'm super excited. I think this is going to be a great interview. Let's start where I always like to start with these, and that is because you are in the thick of this with your life. What keeps you up at night on the topics of strategic content development?
So let me just take one step back, and thank you so much for having me. It's really great to be here. I think that what keeps me up at night is misinformation and the fact that we are creating more content than ever with fewer mechanisms to fact check it, to make sure it's accurate, that news media organizations are for profit now, so they will do anything that they can to get clicks. You know, if it bleeds, it reads, so now everything is bleeding. And that's what keeps me up at night about content in general, specifically in the healthcare market where I spend the most of my time. In terms of what keeps me up at night from a strategic content perspective, I don't know if it keeps me up at night, but it keeps me crying at night in the sense that I've been in this field for 17 years and I feel like we haven't solved basic problems. Problems around approvals, problems around stakeholder engagement, problems around the importance of content and how it contributes to the bottom line and isn't a cost center, but rather a revenue generator. That there's still all these misconceptions about what it is that we're really doing. Most people just think it's copy. And so that to me has been a difficult thing to sort of galvanize myself every time I come up against it, because I'm like, I feel like I've been knocking my head against the wall. The good news is that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably feel the same way, so you're not lonely, because there's a lot of us out there, and I do reach out to friends and colleagues and share the experience, because they can laugh and tell me a story that's just as ludicrous. So I think those are the things that concern me, but all in all, I think it's a great profession and a chance to do good in the world. And so I'm pretty happy about the corner I've chosen to plant myself in.
There you go. And it's funny because it is hard to sleep when you're crying, but you can cry yourself to sleep. So there's kind of a happy mix in the journey that we just went down. But I will tell you this, Marketing Smarts listeners, Ahava listed out a thing, a couple, multiple things that I hope you have your notepad and pen out, because if you were to rewind and write down the things that were listed out, but on the mindset of how do I attack or eradicate those things in my organization, you will be doing yourself a great service as you move forward. Now, here's the thing, Ahava, I fully realize that for many of us, we've been doing content development, content marketing, content strategy for years. But I also realize that some of the listeners of the podcast, some people that will come across this article on the Marketing Profs website, it may be their day one. And so when we're talking about content development, those words particularly, what the heck do we really mean?
That's a good question. You know, Anne Handley talks about how content is everything the light touches. And I think that when we think about any idea or communication that comes out of an organization, that's content. So if I'm talking to somebody about AHA Media Group, which is the company that I run, that's content. Even though it's not written down anywhere, even though it may not be recorded, you know, if a tree falls. If Ahava is speaking in a forest, does anybody know? But I think that that's the thing that we have to remember. When we talk about strategic content development, we're always thinking about a basic user experience rule, which is, how does content help the business and how does content support the user in accomplishing the user's tasks? So for a lot of us, we think about readers, viewers, consumers, listeners, whatever the verb appropriate to the noun attachment is for the way that people actually take in content and use it to make decisions or to be entertained or that kind of thing. So I just think about it as any communication or idea that comes out of an organization.
So good. And to piggyback on that, now that we know what it is that we're talking about, why now more than ever, at the beginning of 2023, as we're recording this, who knows, you might be listening to this in like 2030 if we're still around, but in 2023, why now more than ever do B2B marketers need to be strategic with their content and the content they're developing?
So I think that I love the people on LinkedIn that talk about what they predicted for 2022 and what really happened. I appreciate that intellectual honesty. Nobody has a crystal ball. We know, I think, I forget who did the research, but I think there are 14 touch points of content before a B2B buyer actually contacts an organization in order to have a conversation about buying the service or product that's offered. I think particularly a lot of us work in competitive marketplaces where there's an array of choices and levels that people can choose. So, you know, you can buy HubSpot or you can buy Salesforce or you can buy a customized version of Salesforce. So somebody looking at CRMs and project management systems, sometimes it can just be overwhelming, the amount, digital marketing tools, the amount of possibilities that are out there. And so I think the basic premise is that any B2B buyer is going to want to touch your website, look at your social media channels, encounter you in multiple ways before they actually sort of, you know, the old-fashioned pick-up-the-phone experience. And when I say pick-up-the-phone, I'm talking about a clear sales-qualified lead where they have given you enough signals that they are ready to have a substantial conversation. I'm not talking about signing up for a newsletter because they might be using you for educational purposes, and that's great, and that's a metric you should track, and it's a marketing channel that you should use when appropriate. What I mean is that if you're a B2B marketer, at the end of the day, your job is going to be secured by what the numbers look like at the end of the Excel spreadsheet. And if they ain't round and green, or I should say the P&L, right? So if they ain't round and green, nobody cares how many pieces of content that you created. They care if you pushed people into a funnel and made them come out the other side a customer. And that's why I think it was incredibly important. It continues to be incredibly important. The other thing is that, you know, for the last month or so, everyone's freaking out about AI and we're not going to have any jobs anymore. I'm like, guys, don't worry. There's more jobs than we know what to do with. It reminds me of, I always show this picture of Buckingham Palace when they used to route the phone lines before they got automatic routers for the telephones. And I don't think you see a dearth of telephone repair people out there. There's still cell towers and technology keeps moving along. But back to my original premise of AI writing, that just is so clear that it's not high quality, that it's not for your customer. So I think that's even another reason why it's really important for B2B marketers to be as strategic as possible.
I love this idea. There's a couple things, and you really are speaking my content love language, if you will. A, things are always changing, and so you have to be paying attention to the landscape and what new technologies like AI might mean for you and your process, but the strategy that you'll apply to it. But then also you referencing CRMs and HubSpot and Salesforce and having the tools to be able to measure and back up and create the process for your people to actually have the content, be strategic with it and measure it. And then absolutely, when you said if it's not round or green or the P&L, and it's funny, I have talked to so many people and they're like, what should my content KPIs be? And I'm like, your wallet gets fat. That's what your content KPI should be. So I absolutely love it. Now, with that being said, how does strategic or being strategic with your content development boost results for B2B marketers? And again, this could go in probably 12 different directions, but in your mind, when we say boost around the content and that the marketer cares about, how is it impacting their life?
I think the first thing you want to do when you do that, George, is you want to define what a strategy really is. So a strategy, in my interpretation of it, is a clearly documented way that you are going to do tactical things that are going to solve a business objective. There needs to be an overall, what are we doing? Where are we going? Who are we talking to? What are we trying to say? That kind of thing. From my perspective, one of the things I always think about, and this is another thing that keeps me up at night, is the lack of data-driven decisions that get made in a lot of organizations. I talk about a decision triangle where data is one point, common sense is another point, and politics is another point. So sometimes in organizations, we have to create content to satisfy stakeholders because if we don't, we'll lose the good fight. And nobody wants to fall on their sword about some stupid press release that isn't really going to matter at the end of the day if it's not hurting the business. So one of the things that I say is you might have to rejigger your thoughts around what strategic content truly is. Strategic content is writing a page on your website so it makes some stakeholder happy and then not optimizing it for search so that nobody ever sees it or whatever it is. That might be a strategic move on your part because keeping stakeholders happy is another part of a job that is important. If a strategic need is to retain customers, I think we think a lot in B2B marketing about pulling people into the funnel. But I think marketing serves the function of retention as well. What are you doing on that side? What kinds of content do salespeople and account people find that they need to satisfy current customers? Are you talking about those things? So I don't really know if I answered your question, but that defining what strategy really is and then what that looks like within each particular organization is important. There are plenty of people who work on content who don't see clear revenue connection between content and revenue. Your wallet can get get fat for some people, but that might not be the measurement within your organization. And I'm thinking about the very, very small B2B shops. There's a lot of people on listening right now who are one person within an organization doing all this work. And then there are a whole group of other people who are within these huge bureaucracies and they cannot move the mountain because it's a mountain. And I think that for those people, they're gonna have to get laser focused on strategically what they are supposed to be doing with their content, whether that's building a customer base, retaining a customer base, or satisfying a stakeholder, or all of the above.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. I love so much in there. I love the idea of the triangle and being strategic to how you're going to implement each kind of point or pseudo implement some of those points. But then too, I think you gave us a marketing like gold nugget, but it might even be like a life gold nugget. It's definitely a parenting nugget. I will say that is that learn how to choose your battles. Like some of them, you just let them roll and some of them are worth fighting. And the idea too, it's funny because one of the things you first started to talk about is when you were talking about strategy is knowing the people and knowing the things and documenting. Documentation is key. But it was funny because as the marketing brain, when you're talking, I'm like, yeah, persona, ideal client profiles, which equals these blog articles, which equals this pillar page, which then needs these landing pages for conversion, which then needs these sales enablement elements as far as like emails. And then I knew, I was like, oh my gosh, she even referenced the fact that what does your sales team need from a content perspective to actually be successful? Which is interesting because A, you could either drive that way on this next question, or again, there might be multiple lanes that we take on this because the shop of one or the shop of a bunch, at the end of the day, you're going to want to know how the heck should I get started if we're not doing this thing that Ahava and George are speaking about today. So really the question is, where should B2B marketers start when developing their content in 2023 and beyond? Is it the customer, the problems, the sales team, the CEO? I'll just let you go with that one.
Yeah, so you should fall in love with your customer. You should want to know everything possible you can know about them, or start with one profile, one customer profile. You know, you could have multiple customers. And I think you just spend as much time you can as getting to know them. You get on the phone with them, you talk to them, you shadow the sales team, you hear the questions that come in, you look at your search data. I mean, there are multiple ways to find out who your customers are, what they care about, what their pain points are. Jay Acunzo said something really great at the end of December. He talked about what are we going to be thinking about in 2023? And the thing that I'm going to be thinking about, speaking as Jay, is whose problem are we solving? So a lot of times marketers are trying to solve the problems of the business. But remember, if you remember, I said it has to be an intersection between what matters to the business and what matters to the user or the reader or whatever it is, or the potential customer or the current customer. So thinking about whose problem is it, I think is really the place to start. And trying to figure out the answer to that question, whose problem are we solving? Not whose problem is it, it's your problem. Whose problem are we solving? And really focusing yourself on the customer, what their problems are, I think is the best place to start. Not with a blog, not with an ebook, not with a white paper, not with, I don't know, some fancy tool that you build. It's with basic, why are they coming to us for a solution?
It's interesting because when I hear, and what I love about actually doing these interviews is I let myself listen and I let my brain just kind of go as the guests are doing their thing. And what's funny, when you were starting in that first section that we just finished there, to listen to you, I was like, oh my God, it's not marketing tactics and per se strategies and things that we're trying to pull, but you were almost explaining like an intimate relationship with deep knowing of and understanding, the ability to reach a level of empathy. Like we were talking about, like real humans caring about real humans when you're going through that. Like that's where my brain was going.
Yeah, I don't believe in B2B. I think just people to people, you know. I believe in B2B, but
right.
You know what I mean? I'm making a point. The truth of the matter is that one of the great ways that you can learn about people is to ask them what their daily life looks like. Walk me through your day. What time do you wake up? What do you eat? What do you do? You will learn so much about a person from what they do from Monday to Friday. And I think that doing that with your customers is incredibly, it can be a very elegant way into figuring out what their problems are. Because when you start to hear what their days look like and you start to thematically hear where they're constantly coming up against challenges, you can then start to think about drilling down into very specific questions. So that's one of my ways that I try to get to know. Obviously, once somebody becomes a customer, I want to maintain the relationship with them. And I'm very lucky. I love my clients. Many of them have become dear friends. I always like to ask them, like, what does your day look like? Because it's really interesting to hear what they talk about.
By the way, I'd be remiss, ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, because you did mention Jay Akun. So if you haven't listened to the episode, A Masterful B2B Marketing Unthinkable Storytelling Masterclass with Jay Akun, so you should go and listen to that episode after this one. And you know, Ahava, since we just had that amazing human moment, I should probably swing right back to my marketing brain and ask you a question like, is there a framework, a hack, or a tip, or a trick that you'd like to share around said strategic content?
I think I just did, right? No. Is there a hack? I'm a really big believer in just going for a walk. I really think some of my best ideas have come to me through walking. Sometimes I'll be listening to a podcast like this one and I'll get an idea and I'll type it into my phone, or sometimes I'll listen to music and I just let my brain kind of marinate on some ideas and things like that. But I think there's a lot to be said for putting your head down and doing the work. And then I think there's a lot to be said for pulling your head out and resting. And usually in rest or just diversion, there comes the good ideas. The other thing I would say, and this isn't a hack, but I think it's like a life premise, not all problems are solvable, but they're never solvable in a perfect way. And we talk about this with design a lot. Design can solve a problem, but then it might create a whole host of other problems. And I think that's true also within any professional career. Sometimes you're gonna have to make hard choices. Like we talked about before, do you satisfy a stakeholder or do you satisfy the business needs? And I think that knowing that you're never really gonna be able to always find the perfect solution is a really great way to come into a working environment, particularly around content when you have to satisfy so many different people and so many different needs. So that's not really a life hack. I think it's more like, take it from somebody who's been in the trenches and been at war. It's a good thing to know.
So here's the thing. What's funny, though, is I listen to you answer many of these questions so far. And the thing I keep coming back to is, oh my God, I can't wait to ask her what her words of wisdom are. Because you keep just dropping these like human element knowledge bombs, like simplifying the complex in the way that we're talking about this topic today, which is good for those that are listening, because if we keep it simple, we keep it tactical, we keep it actionable, then we're going to help them make an impact. And speaking of making an impact, one of the things in the title that might have grabbed their attention is the fact that we used save time and money in the title. So when we think about everything that we've laid forth, the how does strategic content and the use of it save me, you, them, as a B2B marketer, time and money? Or is this more of a company time and money conversation, not necessarily the marketers? What say you?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for asking the question again, because I think you asked it two questions ago and I didn't really answer it. So the first thing I'll tell you is that I'm married to an economist, and an economist talks about resources. So time and money are resources, but so is energy. And emotional energy can also be saved through being strategic. I'll give you some tactical examples from our side of the house. So we work with a lot of B2B healthcare companies who are involved in digital health, med tech, pharma, and they're very often told by their stakeholders or executive sponsors, we need to write content about X. We need to get this message out there. Go do it. And they'll sit down and they'll try to accomplish that, and their audience could care less. That's nice that executives want to talk about something. If there's no marketplace or no listeners about that particular topic, then why are we bothering? And so one of the things we're always telling our customers and our clients is, do you really know who you're talking to? And do you know that's the right audience? That's actually either in a B2B world, because you've got two personas always, the buyer and the signer of the contract, meaning the decision maker always has to be the person you're thinking about as well, arming the buyer to address the decision maker. You know, CFOs exist to crush dreams. So if you are going, I mean, they're great at what they do, but, and I love my CFO and she's fantastic, but very often she'll say to me, give me proof that you really need that. And that's where, if I've had a good salesperson on the other side, I can make a compelling case. If I haven't, then I have no proof points. So when you're strategic with your content and you document it, it saves you a lot of time and money because A, you're really targeting the right audience. It's like spending, you know, ads into a space where nobody's buying. It would be like choosing the 14-year-old demographic to sell baby diapers to. What? That doesn't make any sense. From my perspective, when you think about another strategic element that can save you emotional energy, which is a resource, is if you have documented content strategy, then if a stakeholder comes stomping, you know, at you, I want to do this, I want to do that, you can pull out your beautiful slide deck or whatever it is and say, hey, I'm happy to do that. Show me how that fits into what we're trying to accomplish, and I'll be more than happy. And that can be a really great starting point for a great conversation about, okay, you want to talk about X, let's frame that conversation around what the business priorities and goals are. And then a beautiful piece of content might come out of that. So that's where I think saving time and money is really important. The other thing is that when you don't have strategy, you end up purchasing really expensive technology because you think tools are going to solve your problem, and they never do. What tools do is facilitate more efficiencies within a business. People solve problems. And so what I find very often is they're like, we need a bigger CRM because we have a larger audience. Well, then you ask them, when's the last time you really looked through that data and figured out how clean it was? So those are the kinds of things where I think strategy is just, it's incredibly important. I'll tell you from my own company, we're a healthcare company. When COVID hit, it was like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? And we completely changed our strategy. We were like, we're gonna be of service to our audience. We ungated all of our content. Healthcare communicators need what we do. We produce plain language cheat sheets. Our business grew tremendously. Then in 2021, it was like, what are we doing now? And I worked on several projects myself because I felt out of touch with the marketplace and I realized what we had to do. And so 2022 was the first year of a two-year strategy and we grew tremendously and got everything done that we needed to get done. My daughter plays high school basketball. She's on the varsity and her coach will often scream at them from the sidelines, move, we know what we're doing. And that's what strategy is. It gives you the freedom to say, do what you need to do, run the plays on the field because, or the court in this case, because you know what you're doing. And so if you know what you're doing, you're saving effort and energy, not wondering what's happening and constantly feeling like you're in a swirl of chaos.
So good. And I honestly might have like nerd goosebumps right now. The fact that we're doing an interview on content development, content strategy, and you are able to slip in data cleanliness of your CRM is absolutely magical. I'm just going to throw that out there. Here's the thing. There's probably people listening and they're like, yeah, this is great. You guys are painting a vision of a perfect world and this isn't a perfect world. And you don't know where I work or what I have to go through or the silos in my company. So let's address a little bit of that. When you think of the potholes or what I like to call the hurdles, what are the hurdles that you've seen get in the way of most B2B marketers around content or strategy or creating strategic content as they move forward? What are the 1, 2, 3, up to you, hurdles that you would say, hey, watch out for this, and when you see it, start to think of these things?
There's only two, really, honestly. I think everything can ladder up to two. The first one is that the people paying the salaries of the people doing the marketing work don't value marketing or communications. And the second thing is that executives and stakeholders do not fully understand who their true audience is and what they want to consume, how fast they need to consume it, and what really moves the needle for the organization in terms of audiences listening to them. There might be a third one, which is that digital marketing moves so quickly that it's hard to stay on top of trends. That might be the third one, but those are the hurdles. And I don't think that those are internal hurdles. I just think that those exist. You know, medicine also moves at the speed of light, and doctors have to keep on top of research. Technologists and software programmers need to keep on top of it. Oil rigs are constantly being refined. So I think everybody in their field has to do that. But in content marketing and in content, they're not valued. and the stakeholders aren't close enough to the true audience.
So my question, and I'm going to go off the beaten path for a second, because I feel like it's like, there you go. We just gave
it
to
you. I don't feel like it's a perfect world. I think I've been very honest about how imperfect I find it. Not to be negative Nelly, because I'm very positive, I think, as a person, but you know, it's not a perfect world. And I just want to just tell a short story and then we can go off the beaten path.
Yeah.
I was once on a panel with Drew Davis at a financial marketing. I don't even know what we were doing there. But anyway, he was probably getting paid a lot of money. I was just sitting there on a panel. So a woman stood up and she talked about how she worked for a very small bank, a small local bank, and they wanted to do something to change their business strategy. They wanted to move from consumer banking to business banking. But she knew from talking to customers that there were really no business banking to be had in this local area, and they were going to take their business to a larger bank. And how did she design content around that? And Drew was like, I think you should quit your job. If you've talked to the president of the bank and you've talked to the CFO of the bank and you don't like what they're saying to you, then go get another job. And I looked at him and I was like, when's the last time you've had to talk to like your executives? Like, when's the last time you've had to make an argument in front of your executives? And it was like this moment where like everybody in the audience was like loving, because like usually panels are so boring, but like here we were going at it. It's so funny. A few years ago, I reminded him of it and he's like, I didn't say that. So it's funny. So I apologize to Drew. Maybe I got the story wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. In any case, being realistic about our jobs is really important. Remember, at the end of the day, nobody's going to write on your tombstone, did not win a content argument with a stakeholder. Like, no one's going to care. So I think at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, like you said before, George, what are the battles that I'm willing to fight and what are the battles I'm not willing to fight? And I do think that there is some intelligence, not intelligence, but there's some value in what Drew was saying, because if you've knocked your head against the wall for a really long time and you don't like the people you work with and you don't like the industry you're in, go get a new job. Because why be that unhappy at work? It's just life is too short.
I totally agree with your story and the words that you just dropped. Absolutely amazing. And off the beaten path, because we dropped, I'll call them two majors, right? The two that you first started with in the question before the story was they don't value and they're not educated too, right?
Well, they're educated. They're just not in touch with their true audience.
In touch. Okay, so let's say they're not in touch. So they don't value. It's just copy. They don't value, and they're not in touch. How do you fix those?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So during the pandemic, there was a lot of value seen in communications because they needed to communicate. And all of a sudden, they were like, oh, there's all these people that know how to do this. That's cool. Now the pandemic's over, and they're like, okay, prove, you know, what have you done for me lately? I think the hardest thing right now in marketing is attribution. I think it's really the most difficult thing is how do you prove that you're really generating revenue for an organization rather than being a cost center? And I think that whatever you can do to set up data points that help you make that point, I think are incredibly important. The second thing in terms of not knowing audiences is if you can get your executives in front of an audience that is partly their customers, it will change how they perceive what you're trying to accomplish. And I recently did a big communications plan for an academic medical center, and I did 17 stakeholder interviews. I like to do projects. I think it keeps, you know, I don't think a general quote unquote should ever leave the field. And I think it's important if I'm going to get up in front of conferences and tell people things that I actually really know what I'm talking about and that I do the work. So I try to take 2 or 3 projects a year. So I did 17 stakeholder interviews, and it was so clear to me that one group of people didn't understand what the other group of people did. And that group of people didn't understand what the other group of people did. And it's like, guys, job shadow each other for a day. Walk in with a doctor and see what a doctor is dealing with on a daily basis. Doctors go in with business executives and watch how they're crunching numbers and trying to figure out how to make your life easier. And we would all be better off if we would have a little more loving kindness towards and grace towards everybody who's working, because we're all working towards a goal, which is make people feel better and make them healthier. And you know, that's a really hard thing to do in a large organization or even in a small organization. I don't argue with that point, but I do think that's one of the ways you fix it is you try to get those people in a room together, preferably with food. Everything always goes better when there's food or alcohol. And you say, hey, we got a problem. how are we going to solve it?
Yeah, it's so good. The fact that you just dropped words like love and kindness and grace, and what was flooding through my mind when you were talking about follow the doctor around was my dad when I was growing up. We grew up in Montana, so we had some weird sayings. But my dad would always say, don't judge a man till you walk a mile in his moccasins, right? Which then leads you to this fact of like, if you did that, you would have empathy for who they are and the decisions that they're making and the things that they need, which, by the way, ties back to this conversation of content and enabling your sales teams and enabling your customers and having your ear to the ground and all of those things. What a nice little bow we just put on that. But to finish with our last question, here's the thing. I love that you're in a trenches. You're like, I 3 to 4 projects, I'm staying in the trenches. If I'm going to speak it from the stage, then I have to know it's truth. I love to end these episodes with words of wisdom. So through your journey, through everything that you've gone through and people that you helped, what are some words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the Marketing Smarts guests before we send them back to their regularly scheduled day?
Always be reading. Just always be reading. Always be reading new things, novels, nonfiction, magazines, blog posts. Always be reading. Language is a technology. It's a tool that we use to communicate with each other. It's constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. And if you continue to read, you will, I think, always have a handle on those new adaptive ways to communicate. That's it. That's my best words of advice. Or listen to books on tape. I don't care how you do it. But I think always be learning is really what I'm talking about. But I really genuinely believe that true marketers and communicators should be reading. I think there's just something neurologically that happens when we do that that really keeps our brains spry. It's like a form of exercise for your brain.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. I also have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP. Today, you won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk to Lindsay Boyajian-Hagen about maximizing your B2B marketing budget and recession strategies and tips. You're going to want to stick around for that one. I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.